Mohan was stuck in India. He didn't get to be here with us. And so Ronnie was here, and she served, and she served, and she served. And that's just not her usual thing to do. And last Sunday, y'all made her feel so welcome. And really, it's an act of faith. You know, each Sunday when Pastor Tim introduces me, a lot of times, today it didn't happen as much. It's so funny, I was going to point it out. You're actually living by faith when you cheer before I speak. Like, if you want to receive something from the Lord, you receive it by faith, which means before it happens. You praise Him for being good before you experience it here on earth, and then you'll join those people in Hebrews 11 on the great wall, the hall of faith that talks about those people had amazing faith. So you guys, when y'all clap for me before I preach, you just don't know what's about to happen. It may be terrible, but it doesn't matter because you've already received it. And I think last week, Ronnie felt so loved and honored to be here. You guys received her in your hearts. She's been serving the Lord in India her whole life, and she's been a part of our missions ministry for 20 years. It's faithful, faithful, faithful serving every day of her life. She lives to serve the Lord and to serve children. And thank y'all last week for receiving her by faith. And I know she's hard to understand sometimes, her English, India English. It's a mixture, right? But y'all wanted so much that she just felt so loved by you guys. And we've been talking about the shame-free gospel. So I'm going to let her rip, Tater Chip, today, okay? Are y'all okay with that? You know, is there anyone else that we would rather stand for than Jesus? I love the songs we sang. I love the fact that Jesus is calling you forward, calling you to step forward and to stand up for Him. And there is hope, there is a future and a destiny for you. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Guys, we're going to talk about that today, the shame-free gospel. You know, it's interesting, when I look at the shame-free gospel, what I want us to start getting in our minds is this. You need to believe it, you need to live it, and you need to share it. And that's the way Jesus lived, and we're going to talk about that today. But you know, it's interesting, and y'all probably hear it like I do. I'm bombarded with bad news all the time. All the time. And I don't mean just personally talking to people. It's like on the news media, on the information outlets, on the radio, everywhere you go, it's just like, oh, this is bad and this is bad. And they have a new disease and this happened and this happened. It's like now with media, the way it is, we know every bad thing that happens to anyone all over the world. And, you know, it's funny. Some of the crises are real. Some of them are magnified. Some of them are created to promote someone's narrative or agenda. It's like, it's just out there all the time. And it's like our fodder, what we talk about, you know, used to farmers, everyone was agrarian to society, and we talked about the weather. You know, you never talked about how good the weather is. You talked about how bad it is. Even today, I have the weather channel on my phone, right? And it shows you all the horrible things that happen in the entire world. It's like every day you live in this constant bombardment of bad news. And you know, it's like, what do we do? And I was reminded of an old cartoon. You guys may have seen this at some point. Chicken Little. Remember Chicken Little? I wanted to show the whole video, but it would take about half my message, so I didn't show it. But it's like Chicken Little was standing up in the watchtower, in the bell tower of their little town. The sky, run, run, run. And all the Chicken Little did was scream, run, the world's ending, run. And when everybody runs, and it's hilarious because they just chaos happens when you listen to fear. You guys do know fear isn't from the Lord. It's what the great men and women of God battled. Joshua, Moses. You can't name a saint that didn't deal with fear. But Paul said, you've not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of courage and sound mind. Guys, fear's from the devil. And fear makes you do crazy stuff. Chicken Little did a great, great job of showing what happens when fear happens. And finally, after they totally destroyed the town, someone said, the fireman or somebody said, Chicken Little, what's happening? And Chicken Little said, the sky's falling. And they're like, really? No, it's not. It was too late. Fear had already done its job. And guys, I believe fear is doing its job in our world today. Like, how do you deal with this bad news? How do you deal with the drama and the chaos and the politics and the health and the money and every area of your life? You can hear bad news all day long. Conspiracy theories are out the roof. And there's one place you can hear good news, and his name's Jesus Christ. And he's never changed. 2,000 years ago, he was saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, it's like, who's going to stand for him? Will you stand for him while you get run over by a Mack truck? I hope so. Stand for him. He's worthy. He's good. You know, when I look at that, do you realize something happens to us, right? When you see the skies falling, you that's an ostrich. And they don't really do this, but we've heard that. If you're my age, you heard this your whole life. You think they do it. Well, fear causes you to do one of three things, doesn't it? It triggers this fight, flight, or freeze mechanism inside of us. And what happens, fear drives our society today. Fear drives us. It creates division. It creates anger. It creates revenge and retribution. Fear is what drives our society in so many ways. Our economy is driven by fear. It doesn't have to be real, just fear. Fear affects our mental health every day of our lives. You know, it's interesting when I look at fear and when I look at what's happening, fear causes you to run. It also causes you to want to be in control. You see, the truth is none of us want to be controlled. But when fear hits you, you want to control everybody and everything. Everybody's got a march in step. Everybody's got, this is Russian armies. Listen, none of us want to be in this army. Guys, control does not bring life to the world. Jesus came to set humanity free. So you and I as Christians need to set people free. Yeah, but they don't think right. They don't think like I think. We didn't think like Jesus thought either. And he set us free. And through that freedom, he transforms our minds. You see, the power of God's in the gospel, right? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said. Paul stood up in Rome during that horrible, horrible time period of persecution from the Jews and the Romans. And Paul stood up and said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to bring salvation to the Jews and the Gentiles, the entire known world. You see, there's a power working inside the gospel that goes beyond guns. It goes beyond governmental control. It goes beyond brainwashing or conformity. You see, it's true. Guys, we want to control when we're in fear. I want to read you some, because there is. I want to talk about something today, something that I've been dealing with for 20 years is helping people with mental health issues, right? It's been my passion. It's been a lot of my life. We have seen hundreds and hundreds of people set free from every mental health disorder known to man. Every single one. And the power is in the gospel. You see, by the end of 2021, if you don't believe there's a mental health crisis in the United States, there is. By the end of 2021, many American adults found themselves in the worst mental state in years. A survey said that 47% of adults reported symptoms of anxiety. 39% reported symptoms of depression. 1 in 5 adults are disclosed suffering from a diagnosed mental illness. Do you think we have a mental health crisis? You see, it's really true. And less than half of Americans with mental disorders get adequate treatment. A U.S. Surgeon General issued an advisory on youth mental health issues. Before the COVID-19 pandemic, mental health challenges were the leading cause of disability and poor life outcomes in young people. Up to 1 in 5 children in the U.S. have a mental, emotional, developmental, or behavioral disorder. 1 out of every 5. Is there a way that you can raise your children creating a foundation in them where they won't have mental health disorders? There is. It's the gospel. It's a shame-free gospel. You see, I don't know. We Americans are so funny. We think we're the first ones to ever understand mental health issues. His name was Jesus, and he's smarter than you. He knew mental health disorders, and he had an answer for them. It was called the gospel. But somehow we've missed that. And we don't realize that all these kids that can't get help, there's a place that can help them, and it's here, right here. It's right here. The shame-free gospel sets captives free. And it's I've told you stories and stories about it, and it's really true. Let me go on and read this. Here I am. Additionally, from 2009 to 2019, the share of high school students who reported persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness increased by 40% to more than one in three students. Suicidal behaviors among high school students also increased during the decade preceding COVID. You see, we can't blame it on COVID. Made it worse. But before COVID, there was 19% of all students were seriously considering attempting suicide. That's a 36% increase since 2009 to 2019. Between 2007 and 2018, suicide rates among youth ages 10 to 24 in the U.S. increased by 57%. Listen, if your bank account interest increased by 57%, you'd be rich. But this increase, suicide attempts increased by 57%. Estimates were that over 6,600 deaths occurred in this age group in 2020. Suicide deaths. You see, the times we live in now may be one of the hardest times in history, in our history, for us to live. You're like, well, Alan, wait a second. You keep saying things are getting better. Well, physically, things are getting better. You know, we now produce enough food in the world that we have the food available for every human, every one of the 8 billion people on the planet Earth now. First time in history we can feed the entire world. You know, mechanization and computers and the digital world and power resources have created a world. This is the easiest world the world's ever been. None of us had to. We don't have to. I was thinking Ronnie was here, and she was asking me about the Arkansas River. And I was driving her to the airport. And I said, yeah, Ronnie, I said, because there was a barge going up it. And she said, oh, they have shipping here. I said, yeah, you can get on a boat right here in Little Rock, Arkansas, and go down the Arkansas River into the Mississippi, through the Gulf of Mexico, and all the way to India on a boat. And it'll take you 6 months, but you can do it if you want to, or you can get on an airplane and be there tomorrow. You see, mechanization. So what happened? I believe that 1,000% since Jesus came, the kingdom of God has advanced and it's spreading like leaven through dough and it's impacting the world. But this modernization of the world has created situations that we've never had to face before. You see, for the first time, we're facing stuff. And I believe this is true. In our world, finding a sense of purpose and feeling a sense of accomplishment and well-being and value is more difficult today than at any other time in history. You see, I think things used to be much simpler. Like you would work with your hands and you would tactically feel what you're working on. You would experience the immediate results of taking care of your garden or working at chopping trees down, and you'd build your own house. And there was this sense of family where communities needed each other, where you needed to know your neighbors, where sometimes a fire would get caught and it would burn your garden up, and then you would starve to death if it wasn't for the people next door to you. And everyone had this sense. It was like God created us that way. You know, it's really true what Shauna Burns teaches about children. There are 7 innate needs that bring well-being and mental health to children's lives. And I remember when the world was simpler. 1969, some of you weren't born yet. 1969 is when I got my first job. Lived in Fort Smith, Arkansas, and I had fallen in love, 1969, and I needed a job. And I got a job mowing our neighbor's yard with a push mower. Those are things you can't ride if y'all have never seen one. It's like a little bitty thing. And I trimmed it with things that you, I don't know what they're called, clipper things you had to do with your hand. Actually, they're like this, right? And I mowed that dude's yard, Jim Reisner. I remember his name. I mowed his yard every week all summer. And I wanted to mow that yard. I hate mowing, but I love mowing then. Every day I woke up with a purpose. I was dreaming of the thing I loved. And I knew at the end of the summer. And I'm being visual today. There it is, my first love. That's a 1969 Zebco 33 combo rod and reel. That dude ripped me off so bad. I mowed his yard 20 times and I got an $18 rod and reel combination from the Five and Dime store, which some of y'all have never seen one, but that's where it came from. You know what? It gave me purpose. I had a reason to go to work. I could see it, I could feel it, I could touch it. And really, just a few short years after that, I caught that bass with it.
Oh, yeah.
I was a skinny kid, like some of you are, right? That's my friend Ricky, but I caught it. I was so proud. And it had been dead a long time by the time we got here because I had to ride my bicycle 3 miles to get back from the pond where I caught it. You know, isn't it interesting? You see, our children today, when I think about our children today, can you guarantee your own personal mental health? Is there a way to contribute to your own mental health? And even more importantly, guys, more importantly do we have an answer for the mental health of young people in our world? Children, junior high school, college. You know, I believe we do. It's what I've been doing for years. Because I found out when somebody embraces the shame-free gospel, when they see Jesus for who he is, he heals those issues in their hearts that drives them. You see, when Jesus spoke again to the people, John 8:12, y'all guys know this verse. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The little boy who is becoming, had a behavior, I can't even say pronounce the words very well, but he was one of those behavioral, his behavior was the pits, right? And his teachers couldn't understand, his mom couldn't understand. Cutest little kid, 8 years old. He was just a great kid, but for some reason he would lose it with his little brother and get violent. And then at school, just for no reason, he would every once in a while just go into a violent, and he was getting ready to be sent away, right? And so his mom talked to, I think, Eric McMullen up at the Searcy Natural Food Store, and he sent her here. And so I met with this little boy, and he was so polite. You know, some kids are just nice, right? And he was just so polite, and I met with him, and we went and sat down in my office, and his mom's sitting out in the foyer. And she just stayed in the foyer, and I took him to my office, and we were talking, and I'm like, what's going on? And I said, could you think of a time recently when you behaved violently? He said, oh, yeah, today at school. I said, oh, good. That was like 2 hours ago. And he was at school, right? Now, you know what I believe? I believe the light of Jesus can heal emotional disorders. I believe encountering Jesus changes your world. The trouble is, we walk in the light, but there's also darkness sometimes we're walking in. And we need to bring the light of God into their darkness. Guys, it's like, that's what we do. And that's what we do. That's what we do, and that's what we do. So I asked the little boy, I said, well, let's ask Jesus to take you back through what happened on the, it was on the playground. And he's playing out on the playground, having fun. You know, he's a pleasant kid. He has lots of friends, having fun. And another little boy pushed a kid, like was being mean to a kid. He just went off. He's sort of like me when I was a kid. I never talked to anybody. I never told anybody before I hit him. Why would you warn him? You don't do that. He just attacked this boy. Took him down to the ground. And this little kid is small for his age. He took him down and is beating on him. And the teachers had to drag him off and, you know, to the principal's office, blah, blah, blah. It's a whole deal. But the teachers know the kid's nice. They don't know what happened. And so I just asked Jesus, I said, focus on that feeling you felt, right? Whenever you saw that kid pushing another kid, what'd you feel inside? And he did, and I said, Jesus, would you lead him other places he's felt that feeling? And he started crying. Tears started coming down his little cheeks. And he said, the day my dad left. I said, well, what happened? He said, me and my little brother were fighting, which older brothers, little brothers do, I guess. And then my dad and my mom are arguing in the kitchen, and I think they had pretty violent arguments. And he said, my dad is screaming and walks out of the house, and he said, I followed my dad out into the front yard. My dad told me to get back, and he went to get in his car, and he said, you stay here, I'll be back. And dad never came home. I said, oh. And the little boy's crying. He said, it's because I was bad. That's why dad left. He had put his mom's stress together with him and his little brother fighting. And so now he had to stop the fights anytime he saw one, because if you don't stop them, something horrible is going to happen. And it's his fault. And I said, would it be okay if Jesus came? You know, for you guys, I'll say it simply, the light, like Jesus said, he's the light of the world. I asked Jesus to come, and the little boy said Jesus came up to him, hugged him, and looked him in the eye and said, it wasn't your fault. Healed. Well, that wasn't a real behavioral disorder. What? He was about to get drugged and put away. His mom was scared to have him with his little brother because she thought he was going to hurt him bad. And he's fine now. He's healed. I saw a teacher from that school not too long after that, a couple of months later, and she told me, the little boy's fine. Guys, Jesus is the light of the world. Whoever follows me, you see, we have the answer to mental health disorders. His name's Jesus. And it's not a religious Jesus. It's a real encounter with the living God at the place where the darkness is. This little boy was a wonderful kid, but there was darkness ruling that part of his life. And only Jesus can set captives free. Man, I wish education could. I wish money could. I wish threats could. I wish fear could. Because we all could use that, right? No. Jesus sets captives free. It's him and him alone. So you know what? It's really true. Jesus said it in the Passion Translation, right? I like this. Jesus said, I am the light to the world, and those who embrace me, Instead of follow me, they said embrace me, because that's really what's happening. Those who embrace me will experience life-giving light. Do you want to deal with your mental health disorders? It's about Jesus. Well, Alan, I've tried Jesus. Well, there's some place you need him. And sometimes I can't find where I need Jesus by myself. I need the body of Christ to help me. I need somebody. And Jesus works through people. And so this generation we live in is fighting an unbelievable battle for our own mental health, because those simple things that give us worth and value and family and support, I mean, who's got your back now? When you're isolated from the world and you're working on a computer screen and you're working in this crazy environment, where who's your friend? Who's your family? You see, all of those things contribute to our mental health. Well, you know what? When you follow Jesus, when you're living the gospel, you begin to understand you do have a family and you do have a purpose and you are making a difference in the world today. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, not just for us, but for the whole world. You know, is there anything you can do for yourself? Yes. It's about Jesus. You know, I love this. We had a children's event a couple of weeks ago, and I had never seen one of these in real life before. That's a water table. Is that not? That was unbelievable. Like, I watched these kids. Now, we had blow-up things, those things y'all bought for the kids, those blow-up things that has water on them, a big slide like 10 feet high, it was just cool. So cool. The big kids are tearing up those slides. But there were kids playing on these water tables. There's no batteries. It's just water. There's little cups and little deals, and those kids played on those water tables nonstop for 2 hours. And I watched them. That little boy there, the younger boy there, that's David. Me and him became best friends. Listen, there's something about supernatural about these water tables. Because you know what it does? It helps children know they're valued. It's built at their height. It's built with their colors. It's built with the simplicity that touches them. They were drawn. You didn't have to grab a kid and say, "Now come over here and play on this water table. Stay away from those big things. Come over here." No, they were drawn to those things. And so I started thinking about it. I love watching kids. I'm like, God, there's something going on here. And so I went over and I played with David for almost 30 minutes. I had this little cup and I would pick up water out of the bottom and pour it on the top. And then he would pick up water. You know, it's because you know what happens? I knew he was imitating his mother. We were cooking, and he was accomplishing something, and he was so proud. He was so proud of himself. You know what? The truth is, all of us can live that same life. The enemy has taken away the sense of accomplishment and purpose in our lives. What if the truth is, your only purpose in life is to connect with Jesus? Every time you try to follow Him, every time we do what those songs were saying, what if that's your purpose in life? Now, what that looks like can be anything. It's the great equalizer. It really is. Because it doesn't matter if your purpose is to build a castle or to play with a kid in the water table. Both are bringing the kingdom of God on earth. Because here's what happens. Has any of you guys ever been shocked before? Like with electricity? Go ahead, raise your hand. I mean, yeah. My goodness, there's a lot of people here that, y'all need to stop doing that stuff. Listen, those orange tags, they mean it. Don't touch that. And I was going to get Tracy Dolan to help me with this, but I'm sure I couldn't get him to do it. Because I never can remember. One of these wires is hot, has power. Right, Tracy? It's black and white. Which one has power? Oh, okay. So there's something that happens, though. If you're holding on to both of these and I plug it in, does anybody know what happens? It will light you up. Okay, I happen to know somebody sitting on the front row on the right who has been shocked like 15 times, and he works in the technical electrical parts of C-130s. He knows all about electricity, but he still does it. I don't know why he does it, but he's my usher this morning, so he has to come help. So, Dwayne, would you come? Look, it is perfectly safe. See, no big deal. Look, would you hold those? No, just hold the wire parts. There, look. You're shaking, I'm shaking too. There you go. Okay, woo, I'm glad that's over. At least I think it's over. Oh, I found it. No. Dwayne, I want you to illustrate the path. Every time you connect with the plug, his name's Jesus, it is going to light you up. You're going to glow like you're on fire. And what happens when you catch on fire? Everything you get close to does what? Catches on fire. You sweating now? No, hold this metal part. There you go. There you go. You ready? I'll just do it quick, just to give them an idea, okay? No. Am I going to have to get somebody that's not scared of electricity? Somebody stupid? Somebody who's never been shocked? Okay, here we go. Ready? Go! Okay, I'm kidding. It's not plugged in. Dwayne, good job. Thank you. Give him a hand. Listen, he should be scared, though. There's a theory that once you've been shocked so many times, you get used to it. It doesn't hurt anymore. No, it still hurts. You just ignore it. Guys, I'm going to tell you, the key to life is plugging into Jesus. And what if that's accomplishing your goal, then you're just like those kids. I was so happy to play with little David. I was so happy to pour water over and over and over and over. You know what was happening? I was connecting with the little boy. The next Sunday after this, I was walking down. And you know, he's very, very quiet. Like, we didn't talk at all. I don't think he can talk. I don't know. But we didn't talk at all. We just played in the water. And the next Sunday, I'm walking down the center aisle coming in when it's time to start the service. And he's sitting like over by the edge on that side. And when I walk by, he sees me and grins and runs out and grabs and hugs my leg. I was like, it was worth it. I shared Jesus with that little boy that day. I get tired of talking to adults. You guys are way too complicated. He didn't care about anything. He didn't care how smart I was, how much money I had. He didn't care my political views. We connected. And it was important. And I want to tell you, Jesus created us. You know what's going to defeat mental health disorders? It's the gospel, the shame-free gospel. And when I embrace that, all of a sudden, every day of my life, when I plug into Jesus, it doesn't matter what the outcome. It doesn't matter how skilled I am or how unskilled I am. It doesn't matter how smart or rich or anything. None of that matters. It would, listen, all I had to do is plug that in and it would light him up, right? You get lit up every time you plug into the Lord. Every time. And somehow we got off of that and we started defining value and worth based on stuff, based on physical, worldly accomplishments. And Jesus the whole time said, it's all about me. It's like the widow woman who gave 2 pennies. And he said she gave more than everybody else because she connected with Jesus with that 2 pennies. You see, you and I have this same purpose. And the problem is we have that purpose. You see, I think that we need to understand this. It really is true. We need to believe my goal in life is connecting with him, plugging in with Jesus as many times, as much, forever. That's my goal. I need to believe that's where life comes from. It's not a one-time event that happens when you get saved. It's an every-moment event for us. And that's where life comes from. You want to have a good life? Connect with Jesus. You want to overcome mental disorders? Connect with Jesus. You want to have a future and a destiny? Connect with Jesus. You want to fulfill your purpose? You want to have more purpose than anyone else in the world? I mean, that Zebco 33 was very cool, but it wasn't near as cool as the 40 years I've spent connecting with Jesus now. I wouldn't trade them for anything. I'm looking forward to another 40. I'll be 137. Not really. I don't even know how old I'll be. I'm not going to do the math. You see, though, that's the deal. When did the gospel become about doing? The doing happens. You win. Just like when y'all cheer for me before I preach, I win because I was connected with Jesus because I believe he wanted me to preach, not because I preached well. See the difference? Is connecting with Jesus your goal, or is being right your goal? Or is not making mistakes your goal? I love we had sang that song about mistakes. Listen, if you're connected with Jesus, just like when you're little and a baby, you're going to make mistakes. That's how we grow. You know, those words I can't say, if I keep trying to say them, eventually I might be able to say one of them. Well, same with you. Jesus doesn't want perfection from you. He wants connection with you. That rhymed. I should preach that. I should like stomp on that. I'm like a preacher. God, I was taught to do that. What'd I say? I can't remember what I just said. But anyway, you should do that. You should do it. Now listen, we believe and then we live by the connection. You live by this. This is you. This is Jesus. I'm doing it really slow for those of you that are short bus people. There's no difference. You're just as valuable. Because if it's really about connection, does it matter how smart you are or how worldly you are or how perfect you are? It doesn't. Connect. Well, the light didn't come on. That wasn't your job. Wasn't your job. Well, I made a bad decision. That wasn't your job either, because the gift of the Spirit is wisdom. And that comes from connecting. It doesn't come from you being so wise. Let's quit taking credit for what Jesus is doing. You connect. Wait, that's it? You can't trust people with Jesus. Really, that's what our minds think. Well, you got to tell people. You have to control people. No, you got to get people to connect. They've got to be right. Okay, Pharisees, let's go over this again. You whitewashed tombs, sons of the devil. Okay? Connect. That's all Jesus ever preached. We called it love, agape, following him, obeying him. That's all. And every time you do it, the power comes from him. Now, it may take, you know what? Jesus connected with his Father for 30 years. Every moment of every day, I believe, all day long. And what did he do? Then he did his first miracle. 30 years. Would you whiny babies quit complaining because it hadn't happened for you yet? I'm talking to myself. I'm like, God, when are you going to show up? Connect, Alan. Just connect. Well, I am God, but. Quit saying but. Me and my grandson laugh every time somebody says that because we think that other word. Right? Just connect, guys. And so what do? Once that's how we live. We believe and we live by connection with Jesus, and then we share the good news that we're living. You know what? This week, we're doing something crazy and coming up real soon. I love that. Through him all things were made. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 3. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That's what happens when we connect. That light gives me life. And when that gives me life, I can give life to people around me. And then I share with them how they can have their own life. I don't have to control them. I just share. I preach the good news, right? And we're going to talk about sharing later, but I want to show you one thing. There's something coming up I want you guys to get a heads up on. Hello. VBS is coming. I know. Nicole made this for us. We're doing I'm a Friend of God, and we're sharing the shame-free gospel. We have to create our own VBS curriculum, because we want to share the gospel with these kids. And it's July the 13th through the 15th, from 6 to 8 p.m., ages 0 to 11. We'll talk more about details of it later. But listen, how do you share the gospel? How do you preach the gospel? Sometimes it's without words. Sometimes it's supporting. Sometimes it's praying. Sometimes it's serving and giving. We're going to need adults who are going to help us share the gospel with this. We're hoping to have children come. We want you to invite children, because we believe children don't have to live with mental health disorders as their norm. We believe that the life of God can flow inside of them, and they can be free from shame. They can be free from guilt. They can live with purpose and destiny, and they can know who they are. You see, we believe we're doing something important, and we're going to ask you guys for help. It's coming up in July, and it's going to be good, and we're going to change the world. And you know, every time you connect with God, you're changing the world. Every time. It's by faith. So this morning, I want to offer you a chance to get shocked, to get a jolt, to get life, real life today. And so we're going to line up, and we're going to hold hands, and we're going to plug this in, and you're all going to like make funny noises, and I'm going to enjoy the heck out of it. That's not what we're doing. If you don't mind, let's all stand up. Oh, you can play the guitar or the keyboard. Keyboard? Oh. She can play both. We believe that God wants to encounter you today. And I believe that anytime you're thirsty, what y'all did with Ronnie was you were thirsty and you received from her. You pulled life out of her. And I believe God responds. He said, you know, he didn't say, oh, stay away from me, those who are thirsty. Now, did Jesus say that? He said, come to me, all you who are thirsty, and I'll give you something to drink. This morning, if you're here today and you're thirsty, you need something. Don't be ashamed. It's okay. We all need him. We're going to have prayer teams up here that want to pray with you. They want to help you. You can have a drink this morning. Maybe you haven't decided to follow Jesus yet. You might have got saved once, but you haven't been living with him. You're missing out on the life. You'll never have life without him. So this morning, I would say, come back to Jesus. Maybe you've never come to him. Maybe you've been trying to wing it on your own. Good luck with that. I got people in here that'll tell you how that goes. They've got the T-shirt. Right, Chris? I mean, I didn't mean to name names. Sorry about that. I could say every one of us in here, right? We've all tried it. This morning, if you need Jesus, I invite you to come forward and let these guys pray with you. And you'll find a supernatural electricity that'll keep you going forever. Better than the Energizer Bunny. Amen? So let's pray. Father, I just thank you for life. I thank you for the shame-free gospel, that there's no question, there's no problems the world ever faces, God. And God, I just invite my friends to join me in this journey to believe and live and share. God, I want to see our lives, I want to see you glorified in each one of us. God, we want to see you glorified in our world. We want to see this mental health pandemic, this mental health crisis solved by you. So God, we believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus. So just let Jesus speak to you for a second. So Jesus, would you just speak to each one of us how you want us to respond to you today? What would plugging in look like for each one of us right now, Lord? So I want to remind you, just invite your friends with children. This is a good place for them to come for VBS, and they'll encounter Jesus here during those 3 days. And the Friday night, the last night, we're going to have a big party, a big hot dog shindig. And that's a risky word to say. We're going to have fun. So I need a few fun people to show up that can actually have fun with people and kids and love kids. And you know what? Every kid deserves one person to pay attention to them. And let's be those people. Amen. So God bless you guys. Thank you for coming. Thank you, Morna. Thank you for coming. She's our friend, Morna. Bye-bye. God bless you guys.